Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Dan Marino.
Hi, this is Larry Zonka.
Hi, I'm Zach Thomas of the Miami Dolphins.
This is Mark Super Duper.
I'm John Offerdahl.
This is Paul Warfield.
Hi, this is Nick Bonacani.
This is Jake Scott.
Gary Apremian.
Dick Anderson.
Larry Little.
Mercury Morris.
Tom Vigorito.
This is Don Strauss.
Don Nottingham.
Hey, this is A.J. Dewey.
Otto Stowe.
Mike Colon.
Doug Kerzan for the 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins.
This is Marlon the Magician Briscoe.
This is Mark Ingram.
And Jim Crash Jensen.
This is Don Shula. And I listen to the Pat Cotillo Show.
It's the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Cotillo. Join us now as we talk Dolphins football or call in live with your questions or comments. And now, here's your host, Pat Cotillo.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Miami Dolphins Legend Show. I'm your host, Pat Cotillo. I'll be joined alongside Rich Van Zant as the 2023/24 Miami Dolphins season, as you know, has come to an end. Really no surprise, as you saw the demise of this team week to week, and so we kind of expected it, and everything lined up as the perfect storm to take them down, which we will talk about. But needless to say, their trip to Kansas City did not fare well. The Kansas City Chiefs beat the Miami Dolphins 26-7. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that might be the first time the Dolphins have lost to the Chiefs in the playoffs. I can think of three, and they're all huge games in Dolphin history. Of course, there's the Christmas Day longest game, which basically started the Miami Dolphins dynasty and really was the birth of the franchise, kind of. And then I remember the 1990 wild card game, one of Marino's best, where he hits Clayton late for that touchdown. And then, of course, the 94 Chiefs game, which was Montana's last game, and Marino beat Montana in that game, which led to that San Diego playoff game out there. So this, I think, is the first time they lost to the Chiefs, and it was the coldest game in Dolphin history as well. So just a lot of keynotes in this game. But 26-7, and let me give you the stat line as always. 2 of 20 for 39. 199 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Your leading rusher was Mostert. He was 8 for 33. And behind him was Tua, who was 3 of 25. So that should tell you a lot right there. Receiving-wise, your leading rusher was Tyreek Hill, 5 for 62 with a touchdown, basically all on one play. And then Cedric Wilson, 3 for 37, was your second leading receiver, and that also should tell you a lot. Chiefs-wise, Mahomes shows why he's Patrick Mahomes, shows why he's the best quarterback in football. 23 for 41, 262, one touchdown, no interceptions. Their leading rusher was Isaiah Pacheco, 24 for 89 with a touchdown. Rashee Rice, their leading receiver, big game, 8 for 130 and a touchdown, and Travis Kelce, 7 for 71. And that's basically it in a nutshell. The offense had no sacks and really no answers, and just kind of kept drifting into the abyss. And so with that, we have the booby prize now of coming on the air and watching the Buffalo Bills host their playoff game, which was postponed because of weather. And so now they are hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers, and last I checked, we're leading them 24-10. So there's that. And Rich, as I'm sure you get to see, the new moniker of Tony Romo is now called Nostradamus on all the channels. And Tony Tradamus, I guess, is the way they call him now. So it's just one thing on top of another. And, you know, we talked last week when this thing goes downhill. But, you know, I still stand by what I said. I think this is one of the biggest collapses, only because I think you had such an upside to then finish in a situation which we've unfortunately become all too familiar with.
Yeah, it's one of the worst. I mean, I don't remember a worse one. I mean, we tanked the years before, but this one was just pathetic. I mean, you have a three-game lead with five games to go, and you blow that, and then you lose out three games in a row to end the season. I mean, it's pathetic. I mean, you know, yeah, granted we had injuries, but that side of the ball wasn't the issue yesterday. You know, it really wasn't.
No,
You know?
It really hasn't been. It really hasn't been. We talked about that last week, and it really hasn't been the issue for a few weeks now, you know.
Yeah.
And so, and that alone is frustrating. I'm sure you've seen this huge highlight collage that's been put together now with Tyreek Hill and Waddle and all their drops in big games, you know, so we get to see that. Is there something to that? Yeah, I mean, there is. There's certainly something to the fact that this team can't beat a good team all year, even when they were playing great. And then, you add that, you know, obviously your big guys are not showing up at big times, including Tua, who's just played really lousy in big spots, you know, towards the end of the year. And, you know, and I know you're obviously in the – the heavy McDaniel camp of criticism, and there's certainly a lot to go there as well. You know, so this is like a whole entire thing that's going on, and I'm sure you didn't miss Richard.
Every
I'm sure you didn't. Let me just make one more point. I'm just going to say, and as we get into this, I'm sure you've heard the Dolphins release a press statement shortly before we go on air, and what is it? It's that Greer plans to keep the Dolphins camp plan to keep Tua for a long time and look to sign him to a long-term deal. Now, we'll get into that. Why you need to say that at this juncture, I don't know, and I also have my feelings on that, you know, but so there's that. But, yeah.
Look, I don't think Greer should be back, tell you the truth. But, you know, my problem with McDaniel is every time he faces a formidable coach, he gets outcoached. And he doesn't make any adjustments. He never changes his routine. You know, he'll keep going to the well of stuff that doesn't work over and over and over again. And, you know, like the cute act is getting really lame. You know, that's my point.
Yeah, I think it's a valid point. It's a valid point. I mean, there's certainly, you know, validity to what you just said. He has been outcoached in big spots, and our key players have been outplayed in big spots too. You know, and I don't think that I think that he is, you know, an unbelievable offensive designer. He's extremely intelligent when it comes to that. But then translating that to game day, And adjusting in game day situations is entirely a different thing, and he has been lacking there. There's no doubt about it.
Well,
and you
know
perhaps a play caller would help.
One of his big problems, his play calling on short yardage is ridiculous. The man goes backwards more than he goes forwards on short yardage. I mean, between the pitchbacks, the shotguns, the bubble screens, the wide receiver screens, the running back screens, on all the short yard stuff is absolutely ridiculous. There's no excuse for it. And it's over and over and over again. You know, how many times we got to look at, like, a three-yard pass to Hill, triple covered over the center. Like, the center almost gets in his way. Didn't we have one where it bounced off somebody's helmet this week?
Yes,
you know?
Yes, but I think that's a twofold problem because I think that specific area, I think you start getting into the Tua problem. And I think the Tua problem is that's his fault, and I think he's just focusing way too much on Tyreek Hill and getting to
second
read.
I'm just saying Hill, though, Pat. Why can't they go 3 yards downfield, 4 yards downfield? Why are they always jammed up in the same spot? And there's too many receivers in the same spot all the time, which brings another defender to this spot. You know, it's just like, it just looks like it's like unorganized chaos.
Yeah, well, okay, so to sort of break that down, I think perhaps maybe the schemes are a little too advanced, and maybe some of these receivers, especially the fact that you've been rotating the 3, 4, 5, 6 receiver in and out throughout the year, maybe that has caused some of that problem, and they're not picking up and they're crowding each other. That's a possibility. I think he's getting way too slick and way too cute on short yardage plays, especially like
yeah,
you take the Chiefs game that we just watched.
Especially
I mean, they were running the ball with authority, and then on the same drive that you're doing that, why you chose to, on a 3rd and 1, pass the ball to Mostert on a screen was just ridiculous to me. I mean, you were running the ball with authority.
It was actually a 3rd and 2, and they were going to go for it on 4th anyway. So why wouldn't you run him twice?
I don't know why you do that. And, you know, even if you're not going to go for it, I just don't really like that play. I think you get too cute, and that's where you get too many problems. You know, so I don't know. I think that if you look at everything on a whole when it comes to that kind of stuff, you know, there's got to be some changes in the way that they obviously implement and execute in key situations. I want to say key situations in the game because that's what would apply to short yardage goal line and big third down plays and stuff like that. But I think that just scratches the surface, Rich, because I think there is another problem, you know, with the way things have been taking place behind center with Tua and the way that he's either reading the defense or the way that they have played him. I said earlier, if you really look, it started in that New England game. Remember, I said that 2 weeks ago. It started there, and Belichick did pick up on something. He just didn't really have enough talent to
do it.
Basically bring it home. But he was darn close. I mean, Mac Jones had the ball in his hand with a chance to tie or win the game at the end of the game. So, but that's where it started. And then, you know, you went to Buffalo, and that's where it was basically – really exposed. But, you know, the guy can play. He can win. It just seems like they have found something that's now adjusted, you know, his game, and he's really had a hard time focusing on a second receiver, a third receiver. Pocket presence has been horrid. And, you know, the inaccuracy has been really strong in the last few weeks, you know.
I wonder if that's. He really did hurt his shoulder bad in the Ravens game, because it seems like that's where it started.
Well, I think he did, but I don't know how much you know you can still put on that, because he was inaccurate in games before that as well. But, yeah, he definitely did shake that shoulder up. I think there was issues there. My biggest problem with him has been the reading and the decision-making, even more so than they come down hard on his arm.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a strong arm, and they harp on that. And I think there has been some issues there, no doubt about it. But it's the decision-making, to me, that is you know, my biggest red flag. You know, moving forward there. And good teams, you don't get away with that kind of stuff. You know, you really don't. And then especially when you're as banged up as the Dolphins are, you don't have a lot of room for error. And, you know, because once those mistakes are made, you know, those good teams capitalize on them, and they capitalize in a big way, and they do it quick.
Yep. And Armstead said today he may retire.
Yeah, you know, people think I'm crazy. I said I think you have a problem there. And, you know, my biggest issue is not that the guy is not a really good football player. It's just that you just can't keep him on the field consistently. And that's a very tough position.
You know what? it's easy to find somebody like that, you know?
No, it's not. It's not. But, I mean, I'm not. But if he's saying that now, you know, obviously his body is really hurting.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's why you say that. He don't say that,
yeah,
you know, for any other reason.
He doesn't want. Yeah, he says he doesn't, you know, want to play at half-ass. You know, if he can't do it full force, he doesn't want to do it anymore. You know, he's only 32, but you know,
young
I guess
guy.
He's breaking down
well,
too much. Yeah,
prime guy. I mean, I don't know if young is the word you would say, but you know, certainly not
right.
an old guy. And you know, it's just the concern is just basically. You know, the injury-wise with him, he's just not on the field. I mean, so, and the reason why I say move forward, listen, if he wants to be there, I would love to still have him there. But my point is, in a lot of the way that you say, the Dolphins did not plan ahead for a backup center and another plan in case their center went down. I think you kind of have to look that way, too. Wynn has been really good filling in there. He's been really good. But, you know, is that where you're going to go with that? You know, because
no, you
I think
to,
you really
you have to look for another. You have to look for another stud left tackle. There's no question. I mean, it's too important. You know,
the Dolphins' offensive line has been makeshift. You know, all year they've had a lot of injuries there. They've had to adapt.
It's been makeshift, makeshift for the last dozen years. Who are you kidding? You know.
Yeah, but. Yes, but especially in this year when a team has gotten to a different level, you know, it's a little bit different, right? I mean, when you're a 9-8 team, you know, it's a little different. And so, you know, but that's all I'm saying there, you know? Like now, you know, when you start looking at a team that had a lot of potential to do some special stuff, which they did. I mean, they had potential to do a lot of big things. And so I think that you have to really look at where you're at because, again, you get to a certain point, Rich. I mean, it's a fine line between taking a few more steps, which would be monumental, and taking a few more steps back, which almost leads you, you know, to the path that we've been on. And that's what the concern is there, right? I mean, I think you really have to.
This thing could go south a lot easier than it could go north. There's no question about it.
Well, it's pretty close both ways, but it's a very important fork in the road and juncture because, you know, you're basically there. And so,
My GPS has been on this fork, and it's always gone the wrong way.
I know. No doubt about it. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll discuss that because that's really what this entire future of the Miami Dolphins is going to pertain to. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is former Miami Dolphin Jim Crash Jensen, and you're listening to the Pat Catello Legends Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello, sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Catello.
My time away.
right, welcome back, Miami Dolphins Legend Show. You got Pat and Rich coming at you. Just a reminder, you can catch all our episodes right on iTunes. Just go right to the iTunes store, subscribe. You'll have them delivered right to your phone. You can send us any questions or comments as well. PatCotelloShow@yahoo.com. So getting back to where we were as far as the future of this team, you know, there's a lot of good, but there's also a lot of question marks. I'm not going to say bad. I think it's more question marks. And it starts with your quarterback, right? It starts there. Do you have the guy that you can win with long term? Now, the Dolphins come out today and they say, you know, Greer says, you know, he's our future. We want to sign him to a long-term deal. I don't understand the timing of that, first of all, other than the heat has been excruciating on Tua and some of these guys. So, obviously, there's that, right? There's the kind of backing up your player. I get that. I also think that you have a fifth-year option that's almost like a gift. So, you know, I mean, you basically have that, right? Because there's a lot of questions here. And when you look at what's going on, you know, with, you know, other young quarterbacks in the league, you know, you really have to ask yourself. I mean, you got to ask those questions because, you know, you can see what a young quarterback, I mean, C.J. Stroud, outstanding, right? Becomes the first rookie quarterback to have a perfect to be the number one defense, right, in his first playoff game.
Yeah.
And then you have Jordan Love, who I told you I really liked early on. You went nuts on me. And, you know, listen, has the first perfect game, you know, in his first playoff game. So, you know, these are young guys. And then you see the other guys that are in the league that are, you know, are dominating that. When you talk about elite quarterbacks, you know, the Mahomeses, the Josh Allens, the Lamar Jacksons, you know, I don't know where Brock Purdy is. I guess we'll see. But they're still elite quarterbacks. So, you know, that's who you're comparing to, right? Like, they're franchise quarterbacks.
Sure.
So either here or there, that's what you're comparing him to, right? That's what you have to say. You know,
yeah, but
is
that was
like
his first playoff game yesterday. You know?
Yeah.
You can't say he's a failure. It was his first playoff game yesterday.
Well, it's not just a playoff thing. I'm not just, you put playoff in there.
Yeah.
You put playoff in there. I'm not basing it all on playing in a minus 10 degree game in Kansas City.
Yeah,
put that up there. That's not really. What's that?
Yeah.
I'm
glad that you're not telling him on that. You know, lead the league in passing this year. You know,
in
so
some areas, in some areas,
in yards, passing yards.
I mean, in a lot of other areas, he didn't. You know, so
I'm just saying he led the league in passing yards. That's what
I said. In passing yards, which you know how I feel about that to a degree.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
I mean,
but you know, that's not nothing.
No, it's not nothing. It means that you were throwing, you know, a lot of long bombs that were inconsequential to Tyreek Hill. You know, I mean, a lot of that is where that was. I mean, that slowed down a lot. You know, he is playing in the Pro Bowl. He's playing in the Pro Bowl. It's half because he's,
me and you could be playing too as backups.
Well, my point is okay. So popularity for his induction, maybe, but I also think that he kind of earned himself a spot there. So there's that.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of went south the second half of the year, and did it kind of quick. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that Tua is not the guy, and that you can't work and win with him, because I judge him as a second-year quarterback. That's kind of the way I judge him. And the reason why I do that is because I really feel he got an unfair shake in the Flores era, and I think he regressed.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I kind of giving him a clean slate from when McDaniel got there. He revitalized his career. And he now it's whether or not you could take that next step. So your point is what? Because I know you're giving me the other side of the coin. You would lock him up to a long term deal now?
Well, you know, how long? What are you gonna do? I would give him 10 years.
But, you know,
yeah,
I would give him four, maybe 4 or 5. But, you know, this is the thing. You don't really have a choice.
No.
What are you going to do? There's no choice.
Pick up the option on him.
Yeah, I'm saying, but, yeah, I know, the one-year thing. And then if
yeah,
he does have a good year, then you're really screwed.
But
you know?
You're really screwed either
gotta,
way, aren't you? You really, what, you,
yeah.
you really think that? You, listen, you said it yourself. Your big thing that you always harped on was Dak Prescott, and then when they all started signing these deals, that looked like a bargain. Did you see these deals that
yeah,
these guys have?
I
you
know,
don't sign
know,
a quarterback
ridiculous.
For less than
a half of a
franchise.
That's what kind of took the pressure off of Tua is the Dak Prescott performance yesterday. You know, that was a hell of a lot worse than Tua.
But how does that take it off? How though? I don't understand.
Well,
how does
meaning
that take
that
it off?
He wasn't the worst because you know they're like you know they're you know colleagues in this. You know what I mean?
They're
they
not,
don't
though.
Know if they're
not.
Good or, you know what I mean?
Dak Prescott. No, they're not though because Dak Prescott is locked and loaded. He's under. They signed him. He's going to be their quarterback moving forward. It's not. You know what I mean? That's going to be there. He's locked to a huge deal. So Tua is in a different boat, you know? I mean, it's not really going to help him on whether or not you're going to sign him or not because of that. I don't mean that.
I mean, I just think that, you know, he didn't look as bad as we thought after yesterday. That's my point, you know?
I don't know. I took it the other way. I mean, to be
visibly worse. Yeah.
Yeah, but what about all the guys who are so much better that are younger than him? C.J. Stroud, Jordan
yeah.
Love. I mean, that would be, like, more towards the other side of it.
Did they have
even
better years
guys
than him?
Did against better teams. Yeah,
did
oh,
they
for
have
sure.
better teams? Did they have better years than him?
Well, I mean, C.J. Stroud had an unbelievable year. I mean, he's going to win Rookie of the Year, and, like, he was phenomenal.
He didn't have a better year than Tua, though. He didn't have a better year than Tua, though.
I don't know, Rich. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you got so many offensive weapons on the Dolphins, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
did he have a better year? I don't know. He's a rookie. Yeah, I think he had a phenomenal year. I don't know where he goes from here, but I'm saying, like, I don't know. You look at those guys, you know, don't lose focus on the question, Rich. The question is whether or not you're going to re-sign him to a long-term deal.
Yeah, I think, like I said, you don't really have a choice.
Well, you do have a choice, though.
You really don't.
You
well,
can pick up
Kirk
the option.
Cousins. Yeah,
no,
one-year option.
The option.
He's gonna be this
you got a one-year
old.
Option.
Yeah, I know.
That's
yeah.
the choice. You either take, which I think is a gift that you have that. So you could pick that
yeah.
up, but they're not going to do that. I'm telling you right now, they're not going to do that. They're going to sign him, and they're going to sign him to a 4-year deal with a 5-year option or a 5-year deal with a 6-year option. That's what they're going to do,
yeah,
and it's going to be an enormous contract.
Just don't do 10 years, that's all, you know?
Nobody does 10 years, but, I mean, you're still going to, do you know what, that's going to be a huge
do.
Contract.
They
that's going to be your quarterback.
They do 10 years.
Yeah, who? Burrows? Who? Who does 10 years?
Burrows got it. Josh Allen got
he's
it.
The, he's the highest.
Got 8, I think.
He's the highest paid
the
quarterback in football. Yeah, actually, he's the highest paid
yeah.
player in football.
Yeah, what did they give Deshaun Watson? They gave him $240 million over 10 years.
I got you, but, I mean, that's what you're going to, like, compare to? That ridiculous contract? I mean,
well,
that's
just saying,
a nightmare.
That's the bar, dude. A lot of people.
I don't think that's. I don't think that's the bar for. No, that's not the bar. That's not the bar for Tua. That's not the bar for Tua, Rich.
Did I say
that's
Tua?
The bar
did
for
I say
an elite?
Tua? I said a
well,
lot of people
well,
give a 10-year contract
out. Well, who are we talking about? You said that's the
well,
bar.
Tua's not a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson.
Rich, it has nothing to do with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson got paid as an elite, elite, elite quarterback. He got paid like the top, top quarterback in the league.
I know.
So,
yeah.
so
what,
you know,
what did they
so,
give
yeah.
Daniel Jones? How many
yeah.
years did Daniel Jones get?
Yes. I don't know how many years, but that his contract, that's the one you got to compare to. That's the guy.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous.
Because that's the
yeah,
bar.
And it is ridiculous.
That's the bar.
Yeah.
And believe me, when his agent goes in, believe me, that's the contract you're pulling out. You're not pulling up Deshaun
yeah.
Watson. You're pulling up the Daniel Jones one because Tua has been better than Daniel Jones. But he didn't win a playoff game. Daniel Jones did. And that's where the Dolphins will
yeah.
come back with that. But listen, my point is, Rich, you're not going to get this big family discount. You're not going to get it. So
I know that.
The Dolphins are going to lock him up, and that's going to be your quarterback. That's going to be your quarterback.
Yep.
So, you know, if you're talking future, you better think about that when you start thinking about coaches and replacing coaches and who else you're going to replace. You better think about that there. Because if you think you're going to do that and then bring somebody else in, that could be a recipe for a disaster. You've seen how that worked the first time around.
Well,
so,
listen, McDaniel's got one more year. If he fails next
right.
year, he's gone.
Okay, so that, you know. Doesn't that change the way you view what you just said?
I guess so. I don't know. Well, what are you going to do?
It should.
You 1 year option and you go? Because if he has a tremendous year next year, then you're going to have to give him that crazy contract.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But I think you're going to have to give him a big contract anyway. That's my point. Like, I don't think you're getting out of this.
They should try to give him a 4 or 5 year deal, try to negotiate that, and then move on from there. You know?
Well, I think you could do that. I think you could do that.
Yeah.
I think you'd be able to do that if you want that. I think you could do that, but it's going to be costly. It's going to be very expensive. I mean, it's going to be a big deal.
It's going to be no matter what. Yeah. What are you going to do? I mean, you know.
Well, my point is, there is an alternative. You just don't want it.
Well, you said a 1 year thing.
You're afraid that it's
going
to come back to bite you in the tail.
And then you know it will.
In some ways, I hope it will.
I got you.
If you do sign him, you know what we should do?
What we should do is get a new GM. But unfortunately, the people who would be in charge of that couldn't tell you what a new GM looks like anyway. So, you know, but that's the problem. I mean, he's got so many swings and misses the last 3 years, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but from the same token, you fanboyed out with all these receivers like they were going to, you know, you're going to score 70 points and win Super Bowls. I mean, with Tyreek Hill and Waddle and all these moves, he was still responsible for them, too.
Well, you want the ones that took a half an hour to – you want to go back to the way it used to be where it took a half an hour to score?
Well, what the hell's the difference, Rich? What did you get? You got knocked out in an embarrassing way for the last three games and in the playoffs? What, that's something special?
Yeah.
What do you got that's so great?
It wouldn't have been any better the other way.
Honestly, I feel like we
wouldn't have made the playoffs the other way.
Oh, no. You got to be kidding. We don't get to get this Kansas City Peacock game getting embarrassed. We don't get that. You're taking that away from me, Rich? No, don't do it. Please. I mean, I got you, but, you know, I mean, my point is
I'll tell you, you know what's the huge mistake, too? Not replacing Gesicki. You know, you want to get rid of him, fine, but you bring in four guys that can't catch. You know,
there's mistakes, for sure.
I know.
But my point is, like, you know, you're all gaga with some of the moves that he made. So, I mean, you can't have both ways. I'm not. I was all year level, even keeled. And I said, why do you hate this team?
Gaga.
Why do you hate
I like the Waddle pick, and I like bringing in Tyreek Hill.
So do I.
So what am I gaga about? I'm never gaga about Chris Greer's moves. I can name off
you
five guys
them.
In a row.
You worry about them. Come on. You're like a 12-year-old kid
I like
with Tyreek Hill.
I love those.
Knock it off.
I love those two guys.
Get yourself together.
Well, yeah, how about bringing in Bailey? Changing the punter for no reason. How's that one? How'd that work out?
There's a lot of moves I don't like, but I'm not saying either way.
Cam Smith was supposed to be a coup. The guy never got on the field. This guy Tinsdale never got on the field. That's two high picks in a row that they're carried on the roster.
But you thought A-Chan was the next Walter Payton for 4 weeks. I had to hear it. For four weeks.
So did you.
Come on. Come on.
I think he is a nice back, but...
you can't, come on. I mean, you love that. You'd love that while it was going on.
But listen,
I'm not defending the Cam Smiths. I'm not defending the – I don't even remember the wide receiver's name. And Channing Tindall.
I can't pronounce it. Yeah.
You know,
that guy's
I mean,
so cheap on the IR. You know,
I don't think he was allowed in the stadium.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them. Even, like, I don't know, Hunter Long. I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
there's some,
he's
you
got
know, there's some
plug,
good. There's some moves, but there's a lot of bad. But listen.
Yeah.
While you're on
and
this,
let's not forget the fearless leader, Ross, costing us another high first-round pick for being a jackass.
There you go. That's right. Starts from the top, my friend. From the top.
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
and I know
it. Sticks from the head. Yep.
But listen, real quick, I just want to reiterate what I've been saying to you that you've been fighting with me for so long about the Rams. Remember what you went crazy on me with the Rams when I said to you, I would take that deal any day of the week. And you're like, they just sold their soul for the next 20 years. You won't see them. Not only that, they've been in the playoffs every year since. They went to two Super Bowls, and they have a championship. I'll take that any day of the week. I mean, like they look like a better team than us in the playoffs. And then you have the Texans. What that was supposed to be, right? They made all these trades with us, and they're done. How stupid can they be? And they had no core, and this and that. And then you see them, and they're winning playoff games. That's my point with the draft. They still did or miss.
Cleveland bailed them out, though.
Yeah, they did, but it's so hit or miss.
Yeah,
but it's so hit or miss, though.
Yeah.
They didn't.
Yeah.
Well, Bryce, the Panthers had the first pick. They take Bryce Young.
Oh yeah.
So it's so hit or miss is my point. He wasn't the first pick. He was the second pick.
And they traded up and they're the worst team again in the league, and their first pick goes to the Bears.
That's what I'm saying. You got to go for this. You got to go after it. I understand the draft and all this, but we just went through all our draft picks, right? We had 150 of them. And how many of them are just like busts and clowns? It's just such a crapshoot. That's my point. Right? That's the scary part of it.
We need somebody better to be making these picks. That's my point.
All right. On that note,
you can't keep failing.
Yeah, I got you.
This is Paul Warfield, and you are listening to The Pat Catello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello. Sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Catello.
Welcome to the final stretch here, and we'll take you up. Actually, we got another game tonight, Rich. We got the Bucks at the Eagles, so in addition to this, we do have another playoff game tonight. And getting back to where we were talking as far as, the picks and all that, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, but it comes down to, you have to make the right picks, and then you get to a certain point, where – you can basically get over the hump. And, I said this to you last week, and I still stand by this. I don't know how you feel about it. I'm fairly aggravated because I feel like the Mostert-Waddle decision to not play in that Buffalo game was not just the two of them making that decision. I really feel it was almost like an organizational decision that they were not going to play in that game because they were going to keep them out to be fresh and for the playoffs.
I agree with you, and I think that was a huge blunder.
Yeah, I don't think they realized the difference between being the number two seed and hosting possibly two, if not three games at home, and then being the sixth seed and happen to go to play minus 10 degrees in Kansas City to the Super Bowl champions. Like, there's such
ridiculous, a
huge disparity there. And I don't think that was factored in enough. I really don't. But either way, a lot of talent here. Like we said, you know, you're on the precipice of something really, really good. But you're also, like, got one foot on the cliff. And the
They've neglected the linebacker position, you know, other than the edge rushers for, like, 10 years. And then they wonder why that we can't cover anybody across the middle, you know? It's really insane, like, how, like, they keep drafting the same position over and over again. Still don't fix it, but they keep doing it. And then, you know, and then they neglect certain positions.
Yeah.
Like the center, the linebackers, you know?
Neglect. Right, but this year for sure. But didn't they draft Tyndale? Wasn't that like their first pick the year before? And then that guy, Cameron Good?
It was like third, I think. He fell down because he was the backup in Georgia, and he fell down. We didn't have a first-round pick that year, remember?
Right, he was the third-round pick, I think.
I think it was third, something like that.
I understand they weren't high. They didn't have a lot of high picks there, but you're right. I'm saying, but they busted on that. They busted on those two picks. I mean, I feel bad. I think Cameron Good. I think he's the guy that actually got really hurt on that kick return.
Yeah, and what did this Cam Smith do that he doesn't deserve any shot? I mean, when you see like somebody like Eli Apple who can't perform, and this guy can't even sniff the field. You know?
It makes you wonder. It really does. When you start getting debilitated at these positions and these guys that we're talking about, Cam Smith and Channing Tyndale, don't get a shot, you really got to wonder what the heck's going on in practice.
What do they do? Yeah, I know. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I know. I don't know. I mean, they fall in love with certain guys and – you know, the Eli Apple thing was kind of shocking from the start. I mean, it's like they look at it and they're like, well, this guy was a Super Bowl cornerback because somebody picked him up and went to the Super Bowl and lost with him. But, like, do you forget, like, that the guy was, like, the way he played all through that? And that got exposed. I mean, he looked like he wasn't even going after. Everybody's getting on Waddle for, like, for shorthanding that last pass. I don't blame him. That game is so over. And I'm going to get blown up because Tua leaves me.
No way.
And he leaves them out to dry a lot, man. And that he's going to get blown up on the last play of the game? Come on. I don't blame him at all for that. But my point, the reason why I brought that up is because Eli Apple, he looked like he stopped running on like six or seven key plays.
Yep.
And then, certainly that one with Mahomes.
Well, here's my Eli Apple problem. This is the Eli Apple problem. He played in the beginning of the year when Ramsey couldn't go, right?
Yeah.
And he was terrible. Yeah. Let's be honest. He was absolutely awful, right?
Yeah.
So now he goes back to the backup. Like, you don't look for somebody on the street to kind of bring in there. And so now when Howard goes down, he's exposed again. Like, really? Like, you can't go and replace him at that point? You know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. They fall in love with certain guys. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I really don't understand
it. Nothing they could do, and there's no repercussions. You just stay, no matter what. So now you got them starting again in crunch time. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. And then you had Cam Smith, like you said. I mean, you drafted this guy first pick. He was your second round pick. You know, it was your first pick. Where's that? He can't fit somewhere in the rotation?
No, I mean, really, you can't use him as a nickel? You can't use him playing center field? Something?
Yeah,
you know?
Doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, it really doesn't.
None whatsoever.
And, you know, they had issues there. I mean, let's take a step further. Like when we look at this now, you know, you have, I guess, two other big decisions to make. I don't think you're going to see Xavien Howard in a Dolphin uniform next year. I think he's played his last game as a Miami Dolphin.
I read it. They saved $18.2 million if they cut him before June 1st. So he's gone.
Yeah, I think that, and I don't think you're going to see any renegotiation. I think he's done. I don't think you'll see him again in the Dolphin uniform.
They asked him. They asked him, "Would you take a pay cut?" And he goes, "Would you take a pay cut from your boss?" So that's his feeling. So he's not going to. So he's gone.
Yeah. Now, Christian Wilkins is the next big decision, and you know he had a really good year, but he had a very annoying year too because he always has these antics.
He does a lot of stupid things. Yeah,
and
yep.
You know, and you know, obviously he had that big personal foul that cost them big time. What do you do with a guy like that?
Well,
you franchise
a
guy like that?
He's
got,
like
yeah,
that.
I mean,
but you got to franchise ain't gonna help because those guys make too much money, so you're not gonna really save much. It's a 1 year deal.
It's a 1 year deal, though.
Yeah, it's a 1 year deal if you franchise.
He's looking for monster money, but here's the thing, Rich. They didn't give him monster money before this year, and it wasn't because he didn't show he could play. And instead, they locked up Zach Sealer, who was really good. He had a fantastic year. He was a Pro Bowler, as far as I was concerned. And that pissed off Wilkins, too, to a degree. So what do you do there?
Yeah, I'm not paying him $30 million a year and, you know, a $100 million contract. I mean, he can't do it.
Yeah,
you know
how I feel about interior linemen, too, with those kind of numbers. I'm not saying they're a dime a dozen, but I don't want to lock up.
There's more of them out there. You can get one. You know what I mean?
I think so, too.
I would not sign him to a long-term deal. It would come back and bite you. It's not a good
deal. I don't think there's an alternative to it. There's no short-term deal.
I mean, the only thing you can do is franchise him for 1 year.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But, you know.
But like you said, it's going
to
be very expensive.
You know, we don't have much under the salary cap right now.
No. It's going to be a lot of decisions to make. There's going to be a lot of decisions to make. And big ones.
When Armstead comes off the books, that saves a lot of money, you know?
It saves a lot of money, but you open up another hole, a big hole.
That's my point. I know it.
So you're going to have to use that money for another one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you go win or something, but I don't know. I mean, the line really started to get soft towards the end, and he was rushed an awful lot, and we both know that he doesn't handle pressure very well.
Oh, you need a center. That's for damn sure. You definitely
center,
need a center.
You just talked about your tackle.
Left tackle.
So you have to address that in a big way. And if
we need another quarterback too. But you know how much I love drafting him.
Well, the one thing I will say is there was a lot of question marks on Jalen Ramsey coming in when they made that deal. And I really thought Jalen Ramsey, I feel very comfortable with Jalen Ramsey. He's a much better corner than I thought he was, and he's a solid player, and I really like him. So you're going to lose Xavien Howard. I know that Ramsey, you know, has a big contract. You picked that up and everything, but at least you got that. So now, you know, you have him as your veteran guy there, and maybe you bring somebody else in there, you can work around that secondary. You know, of course, Holland has to, you know, be hurt, and you got to deal with that now going out. But, you know, so you have Holland coming in healthy, and, you know, I don't think it's as bad as it's been in the past, maybe.
And the other problem we have, too, is our two best edge rushers are coming off of catastrophic late-season injuries. So when's Jalen Phillips going to be ready with an Achilles? He's not going to be ready to go open a day. No way.
I think you have a big problem with both of those guys. I almost think you have to scratch that, not in the sense of forgetting those guys, but not counting on those guys, and just scratch that and pretend they're not there. And then if you wind up getting, you know, them back and healthy anywhere near, the form that they were, it's just that much of a bonus. But those are major, major injuries. And,
yep.
You know, both of them
really
worry me. You know,
Phillips' injury is a lot worse, but because Chubb's happened so late in the year, it's just as bad, you know?
Yeah, and the way that Chubb's happened, I don't know if you've seen it with the sound and the way it audibly popped and the way he screamed. I don't know if I've seen a guy scream like that, in a long, long time.
The good part is they operated on it right away, so there was no big swelling. And, you know what I mean? They were able to go in there immediately and fix it. So,
for Chubb.
You know, I don't think it was as bad for Chubb. I don't think it was as bad as we think, or as bad as it looked,
Yeah, I mean, that's
but
what you
still,
hope.
You know,
I mean,
it's a good 6-8 months of rehab,
sure.
You know, never mind getting ready to be on the field. So look where that puts you,
Rich, they're big injuries. There's no doubt about it. They're big injuries to, an area that, we thought that we were
that
one
was
of
our
the best.
That was the And what happened with Van Ginkel? We don't even know, right?
Yeah, I mean, Van Ginkel, I don't think it's anything that's going to linger on to next year. If that's what you mean, I don't know exactly what the was, but from what I'm hearing,
really
I don't
told
think
us, really, right?
Yeah, I heard some reports that he's going to be okay, but it's bad. It's a shame that he got hurt in that game. So I haven't heard anything that makes me think that it's going to be a catastrophic thing like the other two guys.
You know what I said to you a couple weeks ago, we didn't say on the air though, and it's like we trace back the start of the downfall of the team. It was the Stephen Ross Waddle dance. That's when the team took the turn for the worse and never came back.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's no doubt about that.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
It was insane. Absolutely.
It was almost
insane.
As bad as Arthur Blank coming out of the sidelines in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Fair point. You get no argument out of me from that. No doubt about it. Oh, boy. I know.
I mean, some people just need to stay in the booth. Just stay and just be very quiet.
Man. I said it to you. Ugh. Crazy. All right. Now, we said we're going to take you up. By the way, Bills win 31-17, I believe. So they take care of that, which we knew was happening. And then we got the Bucks going to the Eagles. So now, I want to bring up a couple of things to you because we were talking about changes, and there's obviously a lot of open spots and a lot of rumors. The Dallas Cowboy one is a big one, and that's going to be a big opening. And I said to you that I think Belichick's going to be high on the list there, especially I was thinking about it. If McCarthy doesn't survive this, you got Jerry Jones, who obviously – love Parcells,
I
right?
I thought he got that oyster that he had on yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah. And then you had you have Parcells, who loved you had Jerry Jones, who obviously loved Parcells. And now you can't tell me that the thought of going to another Parcells team, which he didn't win at, is not a very enticing thing for Bill Belichick, right? And obviously that's a pretty strong spot.
No one's ever won in the second spot.
No one's ever won in the second spot. That's true. But I'm saying that's going to have a lot of appeal. And another thing that I was thinking of too? How about if Philadelphia doesn't win tonight? Boy, that's going to be a real coveted position.
Yeah.
I can see Belichick really liking that old Philadelphia Eagles spot.
Did you hear this
that
one
big,
tonight? That Mayo that took over for the Patriots?
Yes.
Offered the two Belichick sons a chance to stay.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. And what?
Yeah.
And they're waiting in the wings? What, are they waiting to see what their old man does?
I didn't say yes, that's for sure, right away.
Yeah. How about this? This is the reason why I brought this up. I want to throw this at you. I could be just throwing rocks, right? But it started to dawn on me, right? Now, obviously that Charger position is certainly the one of the most coveted ones, and I think Harbaugh is tailor-made for that, and I said that for the last 6 weeks I've been saying that. But you know what it dawned on me? And tell me if you think I'm way off on this. What took place this week that we basically led up to? The national championship game, right? And Who wasn't at that national championship game? You've basically seen all these Michigan guys and clowns and Michael Jordan and Jeter. But who wasn't there? Tom Brady.
Brady wasn't there?
I
was
didn't
he not
see
there?
Him there. I did not
what
see
are
him
you
there.
Talking about? I think he was, Pat.
He was? Are you sure?
Yeah, I think he was there. Yeah, I think he was. I mean, because
I seen him doing I seen him doing videos about it, but I didn't see him there. He did a video about it and all that, but I did not see him at the game. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders have Harbaugh somewhere on their radar, and they don't want to get a chance of like tampering, because Brady's part owner there now.
Yeah,
and he's avoiding
yeah,
him. I know Antonio Pierce is the front runner there, and Max Crosby said he's leaving if they don't hire
him.
I read today that
Davis wants to make he's going to hire a big name coach.
That doesn't sound
like Antonio Pierce. Yeah.
Really? He said that?
Yeah.
Well, now I even think my theory's more on the money then.
Yeah.
I think he's on their radar. I really do. And I think that's why you didn't see Brady with him and all that stuff. At least I didn't see him there. And because I don't think they wanted to take a chance of any tampering or anything. I mean, we all know last time, you know, who was involved in this whole...
Could somebody with a half a percentage of a team tamper? I mean, I think so. I guess
I think it could be a problem.
I guess.
I don't think they wanted to take any chances of seeing Brady and Harbaugh yummying it up at the national championship game.
You know, Fox is promoting him, you know, broadcasting that year all the time.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
I know.
Brady.
We've talked about that.
How does that work out when he's
I don't know. Same thing. We've talked about this a million times. I just think they'll work around it. I don't know. If he winds up doing it, I don't know.
I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to ban him from doing any game with the Raiders?
I don't know.
You can't broadcast a game with the Raiders if he's an owner. There's no way.
Well, they've done it. They've done it with other guys, right?
Oh.
Haven't they done it? Don't they avoid who was it that wasn't allowed to do they have certain guys that aren't allowed to do other teams, right? They avoid them
true?
Doing it.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean they used
just
to bring guys that still played that did a studio thing, but they never did the game, you know?
Yeah, there's been I forgot who it was we were just talking about. There's somebody.
But then again,
who,
when they brought guys
who was
in
on
the
Christmas?
Year.
Who was on Christmas?
Yeah, I can't remember.
That we didn't have, and I said, how come they're doing this game? And it's because somebody wasn't allowed to do the other game because it was too
like
biased.
Yeah.
Was it Aikman?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they always cry about Aikman being biased to the Cowboys, and he still does those games all the time, you know?
Yeah, I think the short answer is that they would avoid him doing that game. I think the long answer is that they would probably come out with something and maybe he wouldn't be, some kind of a partner there. I don't know if that's where that goes, and I'm not 100% sure that that's where that's going to go. So we'll see. I mean, you know, I think
it's ridiculous that it's even allowed to any extent. It's just so silly, you know?
Allowed to broadcast and be an owner?
Yeah, it shouldn't even be in the same page. It should be one or the other. There's no way that should be allowed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's never really come close to happening, and the closest would probably be like John Madden, and you know, it's never really come close to happening, and so
Madden never owned the team.
You know, he never owned a team. He was highly affiliated very shortly after he retired, you know. But my point is, I guess it's never really come close to happening.
He went to the opposite network where he wasn't even doing AFC teams, you know.
Yeah. No, I gotcha. I just think that, you know.
Yeah, and he became like a fanboy of the Giants, really. You know?
He's a minority owner, you know. It's not like he's the majority owner in any way, so I don't know. It'd be almost like Mark Anthony doing the game for the Dolphins. Serena Williams or some other sideshow, which we have so many to choose from. But I don't know.
Fergie and Mark Anthony doing the radio broadcast.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess we'll see. We'll find it out. But all right, thanks for joining us, everybody. We will see you next week and get a little bit more of this playoff picture underway and we'll talk about the Dolphins.
Headed out to my big two-wheeler, I was tired of my own boy. Took a beat on the northern plains and just rolled that power off. Twelve hours out of Mackinac City, stopped in a bar to have a brew. Met a girl and we had a few drinks and I told her what I decided. Out the window a long, long moment, then she looked into my eyes. She didn't have to say a thing.